nothing. Nothing else fit for a king. I struggled with this message a little bit because I was really focused on the craziness of this world. Feeling a little overwhelmed, disheartened. I feel like we're in an ocean of high winds and waves. And I found myself so focused on the negative that I lost my peace and my rest. Anybody else been there? I had to take a step back and just protect myself. But then, as we all know, we take a step back and we build up those walls that protect us, that keeps God's love out. When I was asked to give a message, it's been about 3 weeks, and I asked the Lord to just turn my mess into a message, because I was hearing nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing else fit for a king, just like the song said. And so Friday night came along, and I still didn't have nothing. And I'm just going to walk up here. I had in my head, I'm just going to walk up here. You know what? I got nothing. I'm going to mic drop it, and I'm walking out of the room. I'm done. I got nothing. But wouldn't you know it, the Lord planted something in me on Friday night. So in the last few weeks here at the church, we've been hearing a lot about faith and hope. Practicing feeling God's presence and positioning ourselves in a place to plug into his power. Sometimes you just have to take everything away and just rest. And feeling his presence and receiving his grace. And not only just on a selfish sense, just to get through life, but to be able to let that run overflow and put it into the lives of others and plant it into the lives of others. So I feel like in these last days, we need to remain strong in him and never give up hope. To lean on him with all of our strength, because this ride on this earth is going to get bumpy. And I feel like it's getting really turbulent. And Father, I just pray that this I got nothing message brings a hope to those who have ears to hear. Clear the minds and speak to these fine folks that you want them to receive from you. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his abundance until you radiate with hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope. Holding on to God's promises every day. Jenny likes to do that. Hope. It's like, there you go, Jenny. Hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised. It's a state of mind that's filled with assurance, certainty, and trust. It's a belief that God has promised something and will fulfill it. Believe in God's promises no matter what. No matter what comes against you, no matter what faces you, believe in his hope and believe in his direction. Believe that what he said is true no matter what is being told to you, no matter what your feeling is, because our feelings are fickle. And our mind goes crazy and bonkers, right? I believe that hope and faith work hand in hand. Hope changes lives. Hope forgives. Hope sees people through the eyes of Jesus. I had my eyes fixed on some situations that have been going on around me that I had absolutely no control over. It was dragging me under, and it was dictating my emotions and my mental state. Kind of like I think about Peter when he was asked to walk out on the water and to keep his eyes on Jesus. But he was so focused on everything around him, all the circumstances and all the arrows and all the chop shots and the things that were going around him, that he began to sink. Well, I stayed under the water for a while and bubbled, to be honest with you. Really struggled. And when we focus on the circumstances and we focus on the storms of life, the waves do start to take us under. How many of you know that what you think about can be so consuming that it can take your focus off of the one who ultimately wants to help you through the trials and tribulations of life? Because he does. God wants to help us through everything. And he's not stating that things aren't going to get tough in times ahead. In fact, I feel like the end times are here, and I feel like we're going to see some crazy stuff out there. And we're going to experience some things that we never imagined that we'll want to experience. So about a month ago, I was presented with a situation, and it pushed some big buttons. I became easily hurt and grew frustrated over this particular situation, and it consumed me. I felt that I wasn't being heard, like my opinion didn't matter. I was judgmental, and I was quick to anger. I was accused of being controlling and not trusting or having faith in the process. And I didn't handle it well at all. And needless to say, it all came to a head one day when I just had enough. And I lost it. And what spilled out of me was not only unhealed trauma and pain, but there was a lot of fear and frustration that was exposed. And I realized that it was stemmed back to my childhood and my upbringing. God revealed this to me, that I still had pieces in my soul that had been put back together, that hadn't been put back together. And once it was revealed to me, even though I didn't agree with the situation that was at hand, I was able to take a step back and take responsibility for my reactions and repent for my behavior, trusting God with the rest. This situation was God's problem, it's not mine. It's not my job to fix it. It's not my job to make it better, even though, oh man, I'd sure like to make it right in my eyes. So life throws arrows of adversity at us, and it tries to take us out. Chances are pretty high that we'll respond to one another out of unhealed areas of our past that we don't even know still existed. And I remember in Pastor Dave and Chris's teachings, they always like to say, where did that come from? Why did I respond that way? Where's that at? Where did that come from? So I want to turn our attention to puzzles. As some of you may know, I find puzzles to be one of my healthy escapes to shutting off the battle that's in my mind. Sometimes you just need to like shut life off. That's what I like to do. So we all have escape, whether that escape is fishing or it's shopping or sewing or playing music, playing the piano. Maybe you cook, take a walk in nature, exercise, hang out in the garage and tinker with your car. All those are good things. But sometimes when we do a puzzle, it goes really fast. You can put those pieces together, they all fall in place, all the colors make sense, all the connections are super easy. And I thought about puzzles I have done in my past that went fast. And I related it to Jericho moments, when walls came down and I had those moments in my healing walk that I was transformed and moved into a realm of restoration where I had serious aha moments. It's like a light bulb went off in my brain. It was like the understanding of God's love and his faithfulness and his healing power hit me alongside my head, and it knocked sense into the box of rocks thinkings that I had all my life. So let's talk about this puzzle I have up here on the screen. This puzzle's a 2,000-piece puzzle. I've been working on it for over 2 months, and it's just killing me. I'm very close to the end. As you can see, I still have some pieces down at the bottom that I haven't quite got together yet. I have some of the pieces that have gotten bent, and the picture has started coming off some of the pieces. So I move them, get them in the right spot. But it's taken a lot of time and patience to put it together. The bottom of the puzzle is still incomplete. But I started comparing the puzzle to my life. Being redeemed, and I started thinking about God and all the things that he has taught me and helped me through this life on Earth side. Showing me his patience and his hope, giving me signs and wonders of his tender mercies. And I've seen him in action as he has fought so many battles for me. How much work and patience he's bestowed on me to restore and renew my frame of mind and my soul and heal my crushed spirit. I thought about my brokenness and wondered if the scattered pieces of this puzzle is how I looked like when I first learned that I could come to God and draw close to him and the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me into all truth and healing. And as the pieces of the puzzles were coming together, I envisioned God starting to put the pieces back together in my life. He started to fill in the holes that had been cut wide open, and I look at it as life being redeemed. So if this puzzle is representing life, and I'm thinking about God and his wonders, how much work and patience has he bestowed on me to restore me and make me whole? How much work and patience has he bestowed on you? It isn't fast transformation, and we're constantly in the grips of the enemy who doesn't stop pulling the wool over our eyes and steer us away from our true purpose in life. And just like this puzzle, we have jagged edges and holes that still need to be filled. And we are human, and we need Jesus now more than ever. So back to my story. Understanding why we respond the way we do is important in our healing process. If we don't get to the root, how can it be pulled out of the ground and be killed? How can we understand why we respond the way that we do? I could have very easily fallen into the blame game and remained in that cycle of contention, which would have destroyed a very precious relationship. I may not have agreed with the situation, but I was 100% responsible for my part, and I thank God for his grace and his favor. For when I shared my triggers with my mama, because this was a situation with my mom, I understood, and I was understood and heard by her, and I was validated. Healing did occur that ran deep into that situation, but it was really triggered from something that happened when I was a young child. So I want to share a little throwback video. It's about 13 minutes long. It goes back to 2018. And I believe that during these times, it's pertinent that we do all we can to draw our strength from God and not from the things of this world. I think it's important to have people in our lives that are Jesus with skin on. And we all need that communion and fellowship with God. And we need relationships. I believe, and believe me when I say that Al and I are forever grateful for everything that everybody did for us with Brandy. But we can't solely rely on source of this world all the time. We have to have God in the center to help us and support us through the storms of life, and to trust in and rely on him to open doors, to lead and guide us into the future and beyond. So we're going to go ahead and play this clip. Like I said, it's about 13 minutes, but I think it'll be a fun little reminder of some old teaching that we received.
Know that we're not all fine.
And so we have these needs.
Right.
And we don't feel like those needs are met because we're not experiencing the love of God to meet all those needs. And so we grasp and we control and we manipulate to try to get those needs met. And we're desperate to have our needs met. And there's nothing wrong with having our needs met. It's just finding God's way to have those needs met so that we can then meet others' needs in the same way God meets our needs. Can you imagine what our relationships would look like if we responded out of our healing instead of reacting out of our pain? Boy. It would change everything. Did you know that what we reach for is what we're grounded in? When I have a need, when I feel like a need's not being met, when I feel like I'm somehow missing out, when I'm not feeling loved, when I'm not feeling secure, when I'm not feeling valued, when I'm not feeling purposeful, what do I reach for? Do you know what I reach for is what I'm rooted in? And that scripture we just read at Ephesians said to be rooted and grounded in love. But too often we're rooted and grounded in something other than love, and it reflects itself in our relationships, and it reflects itself in how we're receiving those needs, and it reflects on how we're responding to those around us. So how, again, would our relationships be different if we responded out of healing instead of reacting out of pain? Now, we've got a little illustration here for you to kind of show you how this works. Because what are the four needs? Security, unconditional love, value, purpose. Is it wrong to have those needs? No. Does God want to meet those needs? Yes. Why does he want to meet those needs? Because he loves us. And what does he want us to do then with the overflow of the love? Give it away. And what would our relationships look like if that was happening on a regular basis? Oh, wow. That's what they would look like. So we've got this illustration.
Jesus came.
Yep.
What did Jesus come to do?
Yep.
He came to pay the price for our sins so that we could be born again and have right relationship. So in Jesus, as Christians, we should be walking out what? Peace, sense of safety, security, unconditional love, have a sense of value all the time, and a sense of purpose and destiny all the time. Now, how many would raise their hand and say, that's a nice thought, but that's not me all the time. Let's get on the same page. Some of you will have an altar call for lying in just a second here, but let's try that again because I'm nervous now. Because how many would say, I realize that, but that's not me as a Christian all the time? Okay, yeah. It should be unanimous because all have sinned. We all mess up. But the fact is, what I want to get across is the fact that God is a generous, loving God who wants to pour those things into us so that we're so full of his love that we respond to one another out of the overflow of what he's doing, not out of the dredges and stagnant water of things that he's not doing.
So we're going to show you this a little more clearly, just in case you just haven't quite got it. Alan Shelley, come here. All you got to do is come up here and do whatever we tell you to do. It's a wonderful life, perhaps. Is there a lawyer in the room? A couple of them that I can see. Okay. All righty. Come on up here. We're going to put you up here way up top, front center.
We even have a trial attorney if it gets ugly.
So what we have here is we've got a little bucket.
Should we come up here?
Yeah, you get a bucket.
You got a bucket.
And you get a bucket.
How many's got a bucket this morning? Oh, here's my cup, Lord.
Can I give mine to her?
No, that would not be part of the illustration. Okay, so.
Then what are you going to do, Al, if you give her all of that little bitty bit
I'm
of
gonna
stuff?
I'm going to go hide.
Well, that's about right. That's
okay.
Deep.
So what we have here, we have Al and Shelley, and you're married to one another, correct? And how long have you been married? Somewhere between 0 and 72 14. Years. 14, it will be 14 years in May. Yeah, okay, you can applaud. Okay. That's good.
I can't believe that.
And each one of them have a bucket.
That bucket
represents these needs that you have. And those needs that you, no, don't, you don't need a bunch of those buckets quite yet. All you need to worry about are the buckets you have right there. And that bucket represents your sense of security, your sense of safety, your sense of peace. It represents unconditional love. It represents value, and it represents purpose. Now, Shelly is a hardworking gal, and she goes to work every day, and she works hard, and she does what she's told. And, you know, sometimes she would like to come home, and she would just like to walk in the door, and she would like the dishes to be done and the bed to be made. Is this role reversal? And dinner on the table. Is that too much to ask?
No.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, when you come home and you really just want the dishes to be done and the bed to be made and dinner on the table, what are you really asking for?
Just a little
now,
bit.
No, really? Are you really asking for dinner on the table, the dishes to be done, the bed to be made? But what does that represent to you?
Love.
It represents you love me. I am valuable enough to you that you would do these things that are important to me. And so Shelly comes home, though, one night. She's worked hard all day. Al got home before she did. He's on the couch watching the Velocity Channel. And she comes home, and the dishes are not done. The breakfast dishes are still in the sink. The bed's not made. The bathroom's a mess. Al's socks and shoes are all over the house. And the dog hasn't been fed. And the cat litter needs to be emptied. And she's feeling not so good. So, you know, and she's like, she's going to need to get her needs met somehow, some way. She's desperate. So you need to go get some of what he's got because you don't have enough of your own. So you need, now you're not allowed to use your hands. You have to use your scoop. You have to use your scoop. You have a perfectly good scoop right here. You use your scoop.
It's your cup.
Oh, well, it's not enough.
It's your cup.
It's your cup.
Get your cup. Where's your cup?
And Al, she comes home, and she's griping at you once again, and she's just into you, and you're thinking, you know what? I worked hard, too. Can I not just come home and have a few minutes of peace and quiet and watch the Velocity Channel? You need to go get what you need from her because you know what? So you guys are fighting, and you're squalling, and you're working together, and you're not working together. You're working against each other because you're desperate to have your needs met, and you're not meeting each other's needs, so you got to get what the other person's got. And how much of our life, Liz, live this way?
I knew that was going to happen.
And how much of our life is lived this way? And you know, as married couples and as in relationship, instead of we're stealing from each other.
So.
But here we go.
So if you have this mentality, we'll just let them fight for a little while. All right. So there's frustration, there's anger, there's confusion going on, there's a lot of water on the floor. So when your cup is just barely full, when you have a mentality of God being a withholder, and you're just surviving instead of thriving, you can't get your needs met from one another. It's like two ticks, no dog kind of a thing. You got your IV plugged into each other, trying to get your needs met. That's not working out. So what happens is then, many times we try to find, we look for wrong ways to meet right needs, right? So instead of unconditional love, instead of security, we reach for possessions. If I just have another pair of shoes, if I have another car,
if I have another $100,000 in my 401k, right. I certainly feel secure.
If I buy more stuff, or if I have a better job,
so
or if
now.
I, you know, whatever.
Trying to get it out of possessions.
So we try. We can't get it from one another, and so we try to get it from
possessions. And then that unconditional love thing, you know, we're thinking, well, I'm not feeling it here. So, I'm not getting what I need. But that girl at work sure treats me nice.
Well, that guy at
she
work.
Understands
that's
me.
Right.
When
that's
I come
right.
into work and I'm looking like I'm sad or miserable, she says, Al, what's going on? Is Shelly not treating you right? Is there something I can do for you? And so sometimes we, instead of unconditional love, we move toward passions. Because we think somehow that's going to fill that need. And you know what? Then we go on to that need for value. And we think, you know what? I'm not feeling valuable. My spouse isn't making me feel valuable. My work isn't making me feel valuable. They're not paying me enough. You know, they're not doing it. So I'll try for position. If I had the right position, I would feel valuable. If I had enough initials after my name. if the pastor asked me to be on the worship team, that, everyone knows that's the best position in the church. Then people would know who I was, and I would feel like I had real value, not like the people that have to work in the nursery. But don't we think that way sometimes? We think we're going to get that need for value met by a title, by a job, by a position. And then when we don't feel like we have security, or excuse me, when we don't feel like we have purpose, we go for power or control. If I control everything around me, if I can control life, if I control the people around me, if I can control everything, then I will feel like I have real purpose.
So we begin to control and manipulate, try to control and manipulate life, try to control and manipulate the people in our life to make us feel.
All those. So how many of us live like this? I mean, this is ridiculous. But how many of us live like this? How many of us are desperately trying to get those needs met from someone or something other than God? But what if Al and Shelley knew a secret? What if they knew how much their father loved them? What if they knew that there was a place that they could go, that they could receive everything they needed from Father God? What if they knew there was an unlimited source of security, of unconditional love, of value, of purpose? What if they knew that there was an experience with the Father that would fill them so full of overflowing that they had plenty for themselves and they didn't have to grasp at what anybody else had, but they knew that their needs were met to the degree that they could give to one another out of the overflow? What if Al came home at the end of the day and Shelley had had some time and some experience with the Father that day, and he walked in the door and maybe he'd had a rough day, and she said, "Honey, I love you and you are so precious to me. Is there anything that I can do to help you?" I mean, what?
An abundance.
There's such an abundance of love and security in my life that you don't represent a threat to me. I don't need to compare myself to you or your experience. I can just give to you out of the overflow. What if Al knew that same secret and he knew that there was a place in God that he could come and they could just give into each other's buckets out of the overflow instead of out of the lack? What would our relationships look like?
Right.
What would our lives look like? What would knowing how generous God is to meet those needs and then generously meeting one another's needs out of the overflow, what would our lives look like? And that is
Thanks, Shelley. God has for us.
Thank you, Alan.
Kind of a nice reminder, isn't it? If our prayer peeps can come up, I don't know if anybody would like to come up for prayer or if any of this spoke to them. You're welcome to come up and receive prayer. But a couple of things I wanted to just touch back on so we can take some of this home with us, because I felt like when I was creating this message that it was really kind of messy. But like I said, God makes a message out of our mess. So never let go of hope. And most importantly, never let go of the hope we have in Jesus, no matter what. We need to remember that people are people and they hurt too. Hurt people do react out of their own pain, and it could have absolutely had nothing to do with you. Don't put expectations on other people and rely on works and things to meet the needs that only God can fill. And during these turbulent days ahead, hang on to His promises. He will carry us through on earth as it is in heaven. So in closing, I would like to just pray this scripture over you. It was written by Paul to the church in Ephesians 6:10-18. Now, but my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realm. For they are powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this darkness, dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers you, covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. And in every battle, take faith as you wrap around shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. And pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, you guys.